Okay, so this morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. No surprises here, it's called the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Kath's going to bring us the message this morning. So let's just pray for Kath before she comes up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kath. We thank you for her willingness and her ability, the gift that you've given to her of being able to bring your word to us. And Lord, I just pray for her now. I pray that any nerves she might feel, Lord, will be dispelled. And Lord, that she will bring the words that you have given, that you have laid on her heart to all of us. And Lord, that our hearts will be open to receiving from you. Amen.
I'm not fond of them steps. You'll see me wince when I go down them. Where are we? Here somewhere. Christmas presents. They can be a bit dodgy. Sometimes you ask for something. Do you get what you've asked for? This was not a present, but in November, I really fancied a lantern. I wanted it for the back door, just method in my madness. I wanted it for the back door. We looked round the shops and we looked at the prices and Pete said, "I'll have a look at work." He came home with this. Does it look like a lantern? Do you know, it's been worth its weight in gold, the laughs we've had over this. For those of you who can't see it, it's a sort of bottle. Roughly, not quite 2 foot bottle, but it's got a bottleneck. And what I wanted to do was put lights in there. I probably could have fed the lights through. But would I have got the gubbins through that neck? No. Sometimes your instructions need to be very specific, don't they, when you're asking for something? To do with our Pete. Just tap them on yourself a minute. So I thought, I shall go and get the real thing. it. Oh, sorry. The best laid plans. I thought it would be untippable that way, but that's what I had in mind. That does just the trick. It lights the back garden up. Now, there was method in my madness. We have a dog, Molly Dog. She's a chocolate lamb. If you send her out in the back at night, this time of year, can you see her? No. A lantern. Oh, yeah, you can see her. It's brilliant. I didn't think it was supposed to flash. But I hope no one's got epilepsy or anything. But I've got the gubbins if it needs to stop. Anyway, that was what I really wanted. And it works. I can see Molly wherever she is in the garden. I can see her. It's brilliant. A bit different than that. How do I put up with him? Beautifully, I might say. Anyway, to get back to the story, to get back to the plot. During Advent and the build-up to Christmas, Chris has led us through various messages from John, all about the light of the world. And I see many comparisons with what he's been saying over the past few weeks and these three wise men. Week one, we looked at two short passages from John. And the crux of these readings were about belief. They were about believing in the light. What have I lost? Oh no, it's all right. They're about believing in Jesus being the light of the world. It was about trusting, in a way, that Jesus is the light of the world. And these three men, whether there were 3 or 43, irrelevant. These wise men, they watched the stars. Have you ever sat on holiday in pitch black and looked at the stars? They're incredible. There's so many. I mean, I'd love to have the knowledge to know which is which, but I know the plough and that's my limit. But they are incredible. I remember one night we was at Joy's house in Bawtry, near Doncaster. And it was a night that was lots of shooting stars. And she had big windows in this property. And we lied on our backs with our heads to the window, watching all these shooting stars. And it was fascinating. These wise men watched whether they were shooting stars or not. They watched where they were. They watched where the light was shining. They watched for every little detail. They watched until they saw something very special, a very unique formation of these stars, the stars that shone over Bethlehem. Just to check out, they were pretty wise, these guys, but to check out what these stars meant, they researched, they looked into what had been said in the past. And so they listened to the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah, particularly the one from Micah, which says, "The Son of God will be born in Bethlehem of Judea," which was a very Jewish area south of Jerusalem. Whatever. So they knew this light was over a very Jewish area, but they thought, "I'm curious. I really want to know what's going on." So, being specific, they decided to set off. Now, it's not like going from Burwell to Cambridge on a camel. It's going miles and miles and miles. Horrible terrain. Humps and bumps. They didn't have a jet. They didn't have an aeroplane that would take them in an hour or so. They were on camels. They weren't there right at the outset when Jesus was born. It took a little bit of time. They didn't have a sat nav. All they had was this star that they was following. And I suppose when they got to Jerusalem, they did what was the normal courtesy of the day. They went to see the head. They went to see Herod. And it's something that still happens today in some parts of Africa, where they go and see the top man, if you like, the head, because they need permission to go through and do what they're doing in their area. I suppose it's a bit like our visas of today. So they got to Herod, and they explained what they wanted. They wanted to find this baby. And they were very specific about what they said. They said they wanted to see this baby that had been born king. Not born to be king, like Charles is at the moment, born to be king. This was different. He was born king. Right from the outset, he was born king. So, we think about Herod. Herod the Great. Not so great in my recollections of him. But it distinguishes him from other Herods. He's very particular, very specific Herod. And it got a little bit twitchy. The thought of this child being born king upset him. And so, being the shifty character he was, he decided he'd lull these wise men into a false sense of security. He'd say, "Well, you go and find them. You do what you're doing. You pay homage, whatever you're doing. And then come back and tell me so I can go." So off they trot on the camels. And they pick up the star again. They follow the star to Bethlehem, south of Judea, where they were. So when they found the baby, that aligns us with week two of Chris. They'd been sent to find the baby, just as the blind man had been sent to wash in the pool of Siloam. He had been sent to be healed. We could say these wise men were being healed because their faith was being given, was being restored. They actually saw the light of Jesus that had come to dispel darkness. So, this also said that it wasn't just for the Jewish nation. It was for the Gentiles as well, because these wise men were Gentiles, and they'd come to see, they had come to pay homage to this child. In Psalm 145, there are numerous references to God's love being for all. It wasn't just Jews, it was for all. So the Gentiles, from that moment, from that day that they saw that child, they were included. This baby undoubtedly was the link for all people, whatever race, whatever religion. This baby was the light to lighten the darkness. The choice is up to us whether we respond to that light. So, these guys, these learned guys, they knew about the prophecies, they knew about Isaiah, they knew about Micah. They weren't Jews, but they knew. They were bright enough to know about other creeds, if you like. So when they paid homage, they unpacked the trunks and they lifted out their gifts. Gold, a precious metal, representing kingship. A perfect gift, if you like, for someone born king. Frankincense, perfume, incense. But it represented a priestly role, which was his. That was going to be his life. He would have this priestly role. And myrrh, an anointing oil, often used for embalming. Could be, some say, for arthritis. I don't know if they had arthritis in those days, but they knew what they were doing. They'd followed scriptures, they'd followed instructions, and they knew the best gifts to give at that time. God gives us gifts. He gives us spiritual gifts so that we can live our lives how he intended. Not just for us, but for each other, to help each other. So we can be a team, if you like, so that some of us can knit, some of us can cook, some of us can play music, some of us can mend cars. Don't ask me to mend a car, I wouldn't know where to start. But we're given spiritual gifts. And these gifts, some of these gifts, these wise men had, they include words of wisdom, knowledge, increased faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All valid in their own way, all specific to special situations. These wise men certainly had wisdom. These wise men had knowledge, and it helped them to pursue a lengthy, tiresome journey so that their faith could be established in this new-born king. This child whose star led them to a true faith that was meant for all, for everyone. In Ecclesiastes, we read, "Who is like the wise man who knows the explanation of all things?" I need that wisdom. I can't explain everything. But at the right time, I believe that God will help me to explain certain things in special situations. And that's the same for each one of us. We all have specific things to do. Things that if we don't do it, they ain't going to get done. We need to work together so that God's plan will be fulfilled. We are the today's disciples, if you like. We need this light of the world. We need something effective to keep us going, to keep us on track, to keep us focused. I don't know if you watch the David Attenborough latest series. There was one particular section of filming. It always fascinates me, the filming, not particularly David Attenborough. But there was one particular bit about hyenas. Hyenas don't really make you feel cuddly and warm. You know, some animals do, but hyenas have a bad press. But this particular series of filming that was done showed just how protective the parents were of the young. They looked after them. They protected them from harm. They fed them. The crazy situation they were in, it looked barren of anything that could have been edible. But they found it. They found just what they needed at the right time. How much more does our God know what we need? How much more does our God father us? How much more do we trust our God to do exactly that? To father us, to look after us, to help us to give shape to our lives, to give us the things that we need. Sometimes we need to recognise that for the first time, that God is important in our lives. That happened to me 51 years ago on the eve of Christmas Eve when I saw that light. That light has made a difference to my life because God has helped me through some not so good times, but then some lovely times. But there's always been that fatherly love, that parenthood, that looking after me. I've never been alone. If you feel alone, have a word with one of us. We can help. We can help to show you this light of the world. This light that we trust. This light that God provided for us. This is a bit of a funny week, isn't it? This in between Christmas and New Year. People start thinking about New Year's resolutions. I don't do New Year's resolutions because they don't work for me. I forget all too easily. And by the 5th of January, it's gone through the window. But when these wise men had given their gifts, they must have had a nap. They had a dream. And it was about this instruction that Herod had given them to go back and tell them where this new king was. And these wise men were wise enough to think, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go back by a different route. Is that what God's saying to us today? Do we need to change? Do we need to have a different route? Could be as individuals. It could be as a church. It could be with friends. Do we need to change? Over the past few months, there has been an element of direction that we need to change. Do we need to stop saying, but we've always done it that way. We've got to do it that way. Perhaps we don't. Perhaps we do need to change. Perhaps we need a new way of doing things. A new way of being Christians where we live, where we work, as a church. Think about it. Please. We might need to really take good notice of this, that these wise men were wise enough to change direction. Perhaps we do too. I reckon we all need the wisdom of these wise men. I reckon we need it to rise to the challenge as the wise men did. They travelled for months on camels. I don't fancy that. But they had the diligence to see it through. Have we got the diligence to see it through?